I have a very vague memory of going to a therapist's office as a little kid, probably 6 or 7 years old. It was one session and he asked me different questions and played some games with me, and that's what I remember. And eventually I received some kind of diagnosis. Gifted. I was labeled as a gifted child, which probably meant that my IQ was higher than the average for my peers. And then nothing much happened. I kept on with my regular school days until I was 10 years old and I was offered to transfer to a different school which had a whole class devoted for gifted children as myself. I declined. I wanted to stay with my own friends. And the same thing happened again as I moved into high school and again refused to join the gifted class there for the same reasons. Did I do the right thing or not? This is a question I sometimes ponder upon. And now that my own boy is 7 years old and might have a chance to move into a gifted children's class, should I encourage him to do so? Well, in today's episode, I have the pleasure to talk with a specialist on a topic. So please join me after the intro. Welcome to the Apparently Parent podcast. My name is Iran Katz, and I'm a clinical psychologist, a parenting counselor, and also a father. In this show, we combine the art of parenting with the science of psychology. So if you want to understand your children and yourself better, lead your family into calmer waters, and reach the end of the day with a smile on your face, you've come to the right place. I'm your host, Iran Katz. All right, my friends, welcome to episode number 51 of the Apparently Parent podcast. This is the first episode in a series devoted for learning and education. Because you see, as parents, we see our children through many years of school, seeing them grow their learning skills, and of course, seeing them through struggles as well. This is why I want to have this series of episodes where we dive into different aspects of the learning experience. And in each episode, I'm gonna talk with a guest who shares his or her expertise with you guys. And I'm very happy to start this series with a conversation about gifted children, which, as you heard at the beginning of the episode, is a topic that is very dear to my heart. So let's roll that tape. Hey, my friends, my guest today is a mom to 3 teen daughters, and she holds a doctoral degree in educational psychology. For the last decade, she has conducted several studies about parenting gifted children, and besides her numerous speaking engagements, she also helps parents discover effective ways to raise respectful, motivated, and joyful children while nurturing their gifts and talents. Her name is Jody Spencer. Jody, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. I'm happy you're here as well. I'll share with my listeners something that we talk about before we hit record. I encountered Jody in one of many Facebook groups that I'm in, and she mentioned her work with parents of gifted children, and I wanted to quickly jump into talking with you and having you here on the show because, A, this is a topic that I have not discussed yet on this show. And it's also very dear to my heart because I myself was a gifted child and I had my own doubts and issues with should I go to a special class for gifted children and all of that. And also as a parent, and I know many parents, and here in Israel, as we record this today, at the end of 2020, this episode will be already in 2021, but here children in second graders, like my son, went through the first screening test for giftedness. So this is something that I really care about and I really want to know more about. So I'm really, really happy that we're talking. So first, I always start by asking if you can share a little bit about yourself and where you're from. And I'm really curious how things are down there right now with, you know, how the world is going on. So what's it like?
Okay, well, as you mentioned, I am an educator. And right now, currently, I'm teaching at a university. And I'm also the director of a Bachelor of Education program. So I train teachers, but I also teach. So some of the courses I teach are educational psychology and focusing on how to adapt instruction for students with educational needs, including students who are gifted. And then, just as you mentioned, I have personal experience with my children that had been identified as gifted when they were younger. And so that really got me started on wanting to know more about giftedness and how to, you know, parent my children in a way that I was focusing on them as the child, but also nurturing their gifts and talents at the same time. So I live up in northern Canada in a province called Alberta, and we are in our, I guess, sort of tightest lockdown that we've been since COVID. So schools are back online as of just before the winter holidays, and a lot of businesses have been shut down. Restaurants are closed. We're only limited to begin indoors with our immediate family. So we can't have any extended family or friends over, and limited, only 10 people, I think, can gather outdoors at a time. So yeah, we're in a pretty tight lockdown right now. So we're not sure how things are going to go, but we'll see.
Yeah, I hope, you know, it's not going to be a long one. And have vaccination already started over there?
Yeah, we're at that initial stage where some of the seniors in our mm-hmm. seniors' homes, and then they're going to the frontline workers in the hospitals will be next. So we're starting to see that here.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Kind of the same here, because here there was a big push. Like I think we're like in the highest rate per capita here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. But there's not a lot of citizens here in Israel, so maybe it's easy to be in that scale. So let's talk about gifted children and giftedness at large. And maybe you can help us understand a little bit what does it mean? What does giftedness mean? How is it defined? How those kids are found? And what are the characteristics of that situation, if you can call it that?
Sure. You know, as far as the definition of gifted, if you were to ask 20 people in the field, you would probably get 20 different definitions. And maybe for you as a parent who, you know, has just starting with their child being identified, you might be looking it up and maybe running into some confusion because there are so many definitions. Mm-hmm. And I think there, you know, there's different models and there's different theories and lots of different write-ups how it's worded, but there's a couple of themes that run through all the definitions. And I actually get this from one of my research partners that I work with. His name is Dr. Sal Mendaglio, and he's been working as a psychologist with gifted children and their parents for over 30 years. And he says, based on his personal experience and all the reading, he's written a lot of books as well, that there's sort of two main themes that run through all of the definitions of giftedness. And the first one is this advanced cognitive ability or this mm-hmm. intellectual potential that is way beyond the same age peers of a child. And I just want to mention, because you said in your introduction that you were a gifted child, and giftedness never goes away. So just so you know, you're still a gifted adult.
Yeah, I thought about it as I was saying it. I thought about it that we used to, I think maybe in the general public, we used to talk about gifted children, but we don't really think about gifted adults.
I know.
It's like something really like it goes away or like it doesn't matter anymore.
And the other thing is, I think because we're parents, And if we're displaying some of those characteristics of giftedness, it actually is interesting to have a gifted child with a gifted parent trying to work through some of these characteristics of giftedness. So I think it's important that you remember that you still have that within mm-hmm. you, right? So this advanced cognitive ability or really high intellectual potential that is way beyond, you know, the top 10 or less percent of population of same age peers that have had, you know, similar environment and those types of things. So that is something that runs through all of the definitions. And that's why when you look at educational programs, they're doing IQ tests mm-hmm. and those types of assessments to do identification. And then the other part of the definition is this idea of emotional intensity. And these children and adults have this heightened experience and expanded awareness of what's going on around them in the world, but also what's happening inside of them. So they have really deep, penetrating emotions and reactions to those emotions. So when I first started learning about this, I said, well, I don't understand why you're saying my child is smart according to this IQ test. Why are they experiencing these huge emotions? Like, why are they behaving in these ways and having temper tantrums or feeling so deeply about things? How are those two things related? Mm-hmm. And it was explained to me, like, they're taking in all of this information more than the average person. And so, you know, they can take it in, they can process it and understand it really quickly, but it's not just intellectual information. It's all the stimuli around them. So their five senses are even heightened: smell and sight and sound, right? My daughter used to describe, she couldn't sleep at night because of the sound of her pillow was so intense. And she couldn't understand how other people could sleep at night, you know, because to her, the sound of her pillow was just so loud and it caused these big emotions inside of her. And so going to sleep was this big hassle because of those things. And, you know, some people will say, well, that's a sensory processing disorder, which, you know, that it certainly could be that on top of giftedness. But there is this tendency for, you know, gifted individuals to have these a heightened awareness and intense emotional reactions.
That's
to what's
really interesting.
And within them. Yes.
Yeah. I have never heard it defined like that, because to me, for all these years, I even remembered as a child that the talk was, you know, gifted means you had a higher than whatever IQ number. That was right. Like that. And when you grow up, and especially when you go into our field of psychology and you work with children and parents and you get to know, you know, more people, and you start to realize, and you probably, as someone who worked with many parents about this issue, you've seen that there's this almost a cliche about how gifted children are, quote unquote, and not stable, like not stable, but there's a gap between their intellectual capacity and their emotional capacity. Like, they can be so smart, like adult smart, and very childish. And when you put it like that, with this heightened intellectual capacities and also heightened awareness to the world and to the senses, and I'm sure it's also about the interoception senses of okay. what's going on inside your body.
Yeah.
That, you know, explains a lot, I think.
They experience the world qualitatively different than, say, you know, the norm.
Yeah.
You know, everything is just, and for a child, they don't understand these big emotions and these big feelings. So often they can be manifested by negative behavior. Well, we might call it negative behavior, you know, like a temper tantrum or something like that. But what you're describing is what we call asynchronous development. Mm. So I don't know if you've heard that term related to giftedness, but that's one of the main characteristics. And of course, every gifted child is different. So not all of them have asynchronous development, but it is one of the hallmarks of giftedness is, you know, just developing at different rates. So intellectual, they can seem like you're talking to an adult sometimes, and or you're arguing with an adult.
Yeah.
Right. But then, and then they might have the fine motor skills at their age level, which is fine. But then they have this sometimes emotional or even social development that's like a toddler, and they might be 7 years old.
And that's so confusing.
And it can happen in a span of 5 minutes sometimes. Yeah. I've had parents say to me, you know, oh, I was talking to my son about quadratic equations, and then, you know, he's 9 years old, but then having to brush his teeth for him because he just, you know, doesn't have the fine motor skills to do it. And then, he's having a temper tantrum on the floor about bedtime, mm-hmm. you know, in a span of 5 minutes. And she said, I don't know if my son is 5, 9, or 20. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a synchronous development. And that's a characteristic of gifted children that is probably one of the biggest challenges of parenting.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. and for the children themselves, if I want to focus on them a little bit longer, what other challenges are there that are unique to gifted children?
Right. So asynchronous development was something I wanted to talk about, but we've talked about that a little bit. The other thing is most of these children have all of their advancements come quite early. Right. So when, every time I've interviewed parents, when I was doing my, I did a couple studies with parents of gifted children, and they all talk about early language development, early cognitive ability, early reasoning, early skills in multiple different areas. And that kind of has a few different effects. So first of all, the children can become bored quite easily. They need that intellectual stimulation all the time because they're just, their rate of development is so much faster. So even once they start school, we pace school, you know, kind of to the norm. This is the curriculum. These are the grade levels. This is where everyone should be. Yet the pace of a child who's gifted is so much more accelerated, you know? So because they achieve things quite early, we need to keep that intellectual stimulation going. And so boredom can be a big issue. The other thing is with that is sometimes things come really easy to them, right? And then once they hit that stage where they might have to put a little bit more effort into something, they really struggle with that. And that
happens.
You know, sometimes once they hit grade school and they might have, you know, there's something that doesn't come really easy to them, they're not sure how to handle that because they, everything has come so easy.
Yeah, I can, I can share my, a story of my, own, and that I remember distinctly. I think I was probably maybe in sixth or seventh grade, and I got my first, you know, F in a test. It was a math test, and it something that was really easy for me all the time. And I never had to study. And you know, I did my homework. That was that. And the test day was the test day, and that was that. And then I had this, I failed, and I really didn't know what, how to handle that, how to relate to that. That was like, that was really, it was kind of a shock. And I remember, you know, going home and calling your mom and telling her, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. That's a weird feeling.
It is. And what can happen is if the child feels not competent at something, they're not driven to do it. Right. So now you've got all this task avoidance. Underachievement is actually something that's quite common with gifted children. And it's not because they can't achieve, but a lot of it, there's a couple of reasons. One is because they don't really know how to put in that effort because for so long things have just come really easy to them and they don't have the skills. They really just need the skills to put in effort. And the other thing is they tend to not like to do non-preferred tasks. So they're very passionate and focused, and they can hyper-focus on something they love and sit for hours and do, you know, puzzles or whatever topic it is that they're interested in, they'll put all their energy into that. But then if you ask them to do math maybe or something that they already know or they don't find interesting, you really struggle putting that effort into it because they don't understand why I would need to learn this, right?
Yeah. How do you teach your children to put the effort when it's not so easy? When they are used to having things being easy for them?
Yeah. So we ran into this in our household. So it got to the, you know, kind of that maybe grade 3 or 4 here in Canada where one of my daughters in particular, everything came easy to her. Just didn't have to study, didn't have to bring homework home, and, you know, straight A student, 100% on everything. And probably around grade 3 or 4, things started in some areas to get a little trickier, and her grades were dropping and she wasn't putting in that effort. And so what we started to do was focus on effort. So we had lots of conversations about the you can be a smart, you know, the smartest person on the planet, but you will not have success or achieve anything without putting in that effort. And we just talked to her. I mean, she's smart, right? So this is one of the things with our gifted children is we can use their intellect to explain things to them. Mm-hmm. And so what we started doing was talking about everyone else's effort in the household or even outside of the household. So we just kept talking about effort all the time. So, you know, if they had a friend who, I don't know, achieved something in a sports competition, we wouldn't say, wow, they got a medal or a trophy in that sports competition. We would talk about the effort that was put into it. We had all these messages about effort over and over and over again. And then what we started to do was make sure that she experienced some success in the task that she was doing. So, you know, sitting down with her, making things a little bit easier for her, scaffolding it a little bit so that she could see that she could accomplish that. And then we would make this big deal about, you know, because you put that effort in and you took the time to learn it, now you're at this stage and you can keep going. And the other thing I did was I had a whiteboard by the door and I would write messages or quotes or something like that. I had been doing it for years. Well, I started changing all the quotes to quotes about effort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, effort comes before success and all these types of things. And I don't know if it was subliminal messages I was trying to give her, but it wasn't too long when she started experiencing those good grades again and could see that connection. And I could hear her talking to her sisters and starting to use the language that we were using, saying, well, you need to work harder then if you want to do this. You have to put in the effort. And so really for us, it was about the language and just to keep talking about effort and focusing less on achievement. And, you know, you've always been smart, so you should still get good grades. We didn't talk about grades. We talked about the effort.
And I guess it's really easy for parents to kind of quote unquote fall into this trap of achievements because that's something that's easy to see.
Yeah. And especially I find with parents of gifted children, it's like, as soon as they get that label, mm-hmm. there's this responsibility to make sure that their child is achieving high grades. Right. But it shouldn't be about that. Yeah. It should be about what they're learning and all those, you know, their other passions and their other talents. But, you know, that was one of the main messages or pieces of advice I give to parents is to let that label of giftedness go and focus on your child being a child first, right? Because if you keep focusing on how smart they are, if they don't achieve to that level that you keep talking about, they might start to underachieve or, you know, fall into that perfectionism and some of those other negative emotions.
So I was wondering around that issue, when we're talking about giftedness and achievements, it's really easy to think about intellectual achievements and school and academic achievements. But as far as I remember from long ago when I studied psychology, we used to talk about different kinds of intelligence. Maybe I want to ask how and when parents need to kind of see what their child is gifted in, or how maybe a different way to look upon it is to think about, you know, you have a child who is gifted. So, as you said earlier, there's a higher intellectual capacity and skills, and also this heightened sense of the world. But
right.
when you combine it with the passion of what the child really is into. And, you know, children need to find out for their own because they don't know at 3, 4, 5, 6 years old what they want out of their life mostly. And this is when children can really thrive. So in my mind, or the way I see it sometimes with parents, is that giftedness is kind of related to high academic achievements, especially in math and physics and computers and those areas. But, you know, not every gifted child wants to do that and can do that. So
I know it's really interesting that you say that because I talk about this a lot. And what I find is the importance of a child finding their passion. And I'm talking about every child, you know, not just children who are gifted, but finding something that they like to do. And so parents really, yes, your child has this advanced, you know, intellectual potential, and that's that's wonderful. But is that going to get them through life? Is that going to give them joy in their life? Is it going to, you know, bring them happiness and a career that they love? And those are the things that I think are important. So focusing, trying to find their passion. And one of the things I say is just expose them to a lot of things. And I think that's kind of, I think a lot of parents try to do that. And it doesn't necessarily mean entering them in extracurricular activities, but getting them outside, showing them lots of books, you know, visiting places around your community, such as museums and sporting events and all those types of things, just to see where their passion lies. They might not be intellectual and they're gifted in athletics and they're very creative and artistic. And that's okay if they want to end up, you know, go to an arts college and pursue dance or some type of art instead of medicine, right? I actually ran into that with my oldest daughter, who was always highly gifted in math and science, well, all the subjects really, but particularly those two. And she actually got recruited by a university when she applied to universities out of grade 12 into neuroscience with a pathway to go into medicine. So she went just thinking, well, this is what I'm good at. This is what I've been doing. I guess I should do it. And she's just in her second year now, and she has actually just switched into psychology because she realized that she didn't want to be a doctor and she's not all that interested in neuroscience and she's tired of doing organic chemistry. She's good at it. It's fine. But she loves to help people and she loves to talk. No. And she has starting to, you know, discover her passion. It's really cool to see her finding her way by not going down that path of medicine that she's capable of doing if she wanted to. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. And I think some parents tend to focus so much on that label of gifted that it's going to guarantee success and high achievement and all those types of things. And they need to look at the whole picture.
Yeah. So what are the other challenges that you see parents, you know, squabble with all the time with their gifted children?
One of the main things that came out of our research was that parents really felt exhausted and frustrated. And some of that came from these big emotions and some of the negative behavior. I just call them temper tantrums. I think that's the best way to sort of describe them. But not knowing how to handle their big emotions, mm-hmm. you know, in a positive, healthy way. Yeah. And so dealing with temper tantrums or these big emotions on a daily basis and, you know, this high intensity. And then the other thing was it's exhausting because they're constantly questioning and needing to know the answers to things and needing to be intellectually stimulated. And I had this one mom tell me that she would sometimes lock herself in a bathroom just to get away from her sons. why is this happening? And what next? And what about this? And she said, I locked myself in there partly because I was exhausted, but partly because I had to Google stuff on my phone because I didn't know the answers to all of his questions, you know? And then also this idea of, kind of this incessant arguing mm-hmm. about, well, why do I have to do these certain things? Because they have the intellectual capacity to argue at this high level, right?
Debate yeah, like with you can't you. Really mess with them.
No, you can't mess with them. So they, so that was one of the things that came out was it's exhausting. Like we're always on our toes, whether it's them being intellectually stimulated or them being stimulated by their big emotions. It's like go, go, go constantly and not really knowing how to navigate through that. Another thing that they talked about was feeling socially isolated. So feeling like their child didn't really fit in with the norm of what was happening. So when they're trying to talk to other parents about where their child is at developmentally or some achievements, they either felt like they were bragging or that they're these people, you know, had no idea what they were even talking about. Mm-hmm. And we had one parent who said she was at a birthday party and she was trying to talk to the kids were four and her child had just read Moby Dick, mm-hmm. taught herself to read and had read Moby Dick. And this other parent said, I don't understand the problem. Your child just read Moby Dick. You know, what's the problem? Your child's smart. That's great. And this poor mom said, that is the problem. Don't you see this? Like, this is so much work to have a child that does this. This isn't easy, you know? And so it's hard. How do you talk to people who A, don't even want to acknowledge that giftedness is really a thing? You know, mm-hmm. they have this idea that all children are gifted.
Yeah.
And right. And, but if you look at the definition of giftedness, not all individuals are gifted. If you just look at the definition.
Mm-hmm.
So, so feeling like your child doesn't really fit in and you really don't have anyone to talk to. And so that was a hard thing for them. And then the other one was the parents. So they wanted to have rules and structure and those types of things, but the child was so explosive at times and demanding that they sort of just followed the child and let them decide how the day was going to go, you know, and we called that child driven parenting, which probably mm-hmm. isn't the best.
No,
can't let the child, you know, steer the ship type of thing.
Yeah.
So those were some of the frustrations and the, I guess some of the frustrations that came out of the challenges that came out of the studies that we did. And I see this, you know, I've experienced it myself when I was doing the research. You can't really talk to your participant, but inside I was thinking, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing this commonalities as we're talking to these parents.
Yeah. I guess that I wonder what he did to help those parents, and I'm going to get it in a second, get to that. But I guess that when parents start to talk about this with other people who either have gifted children of their own or know something about that, something starts to shift, because you can maybe find yourself feeling quite lonely. And in a way, it may replicate how your child feels. Because I guess that one of the major problems here is that those children need to find a way to feel socially included and adequate and whatever you call it. Because and that brings the question of how you help these children. Do you have a special class for them inside a school or other programs? I know there are different kinds of models here.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. There comes a time really early when these children themselves realize that they are different.
Yeah, like they're self-identify.
They see it right away, especially once school starts and they see how, you know, some children are just learning their alphabet and they're already reading. They see it right away and they don't feel like they fit in. And they're having conversations about, you know, social justice. In you know, when they're 5 years old, when the other kids are talking about who gets which toy, you know, they really understand that they don't fit in and they don't have this connection with their same age peers. So research shows that, you know, one of the best things you can do to help sort of enrich the lives of gifted children is to put them with other gifted children. So whether you can find a school for gifted children, which, you know, not everyone has access to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can, those, you know, there's a lot of support there for the parents and for the children, because they're with other kids that think like them and feel like them. And, you know, that makes them feel normal and not so, you know, like they're not fitting in, or gifted programs. So most schools in North America, anyway, they have gifted programs, and what they like to do is called cluster grouping. So in my daughter's school, there was four classes at each grade level, but they would cluster the students. There was maybe four of them who were identified as gifted, and they would put them in the same class. And then, you know, they kind of had each other after a few years, because she ended up with these same kids for, I don't know, 6 years going through school. After a while, you kind of, you know, want to spread your wings a little bit and meet other kids. But they would meet with kids that were also in gifted programs with other schools in our community and do projects and learning days and stuff like that. But it is really important that they find that circle. And sometimes it's older kids. So they tend to really gravitate towards older children, and it's fine. I mean, that's where they feel like they fit in the best. Yeah. So I think it's important, definitely important to try to find that for your child. And then that right educational match also. So whether you have access to a gifted school or a gifted program, or even there's lots of online options now, and they've been exploding over the last year.
Yeah, but lots sure.
of, yeah, lots of schools, but because there's so much more homeschooling going on now. So there's lots of support that way. And I think it's really important. And you can connect. So I'm in a lot of Facebook groups for parents of gifted children. And I mean, some of them have thousands and thousands. And in there, they're saying, hey, does anyone want to play chess? You know, start a chess club with my son. And so now they're all from all over the world playing chess together. So I think that's one way to get them together. But it is really important.
Awesome. Awesome. So mm-hmm. I think this is a wonderful place to ask you about your work, other than your research that you've talked about extensively. How do you help? Because I know you're working with parents and you have you're counseling parents of gifted children, right? And you also have a course about that. Right. So maybe you can share with...
So not counseling, because I'm not a psychologist, but I do consulting. So parenting or educational consulting. Mm-hmm. And the way we started was probably for the last 10 years, I've been presenting at different conferences to parents on giftedness, and sometimes with a colleague, another researcher, and just from my own experience and, you know, coming up with tips and ideas and those types of things. And I get a lot of feedback from parents saying, you know, do you do consultations and do you have a course and have you written a book and all those types mm-hmm. of things. So I decided to sort of put everything that I know together to offer parents stuff I wish I knew when my kids were younger, yeah. I guess. And just all that foundational stuff to think about specific to parenting gifted children. And, you know, a book is probably in the works, but I'm an educator. So I like to work with people and I like to facilitate their learning and make sure that they're understanding and that we're meeting their needs for their family. And I think if I just offer a book, I don't get that feedback and they don't get that feedback. Right. So I do offer consulting mm-hmm. and so one-on-one virtual over a Zoom session. And then also I'm just launching now a gifted parenting course. So my company or my consulting company is called The Gifted Family and the website is thegiftedfamily.ca. And the reason I called it that is because giftedness affects the whole family. And typically, like even in your situation, typically the parents are also gifted because it does run in families. And it's just, I mean, it's a whole dynamic about the family, right? And so I take this family approach to parenting. And so now I've launched this course and it has 5 modules. It's very, it's comprehensive, but it's also really easy to go through because it's videos of me, kind of short, up to 10-minute videos of me getting right to the point about mm-hmm. a certain topic. And this is what I want you to do. And then there's an activity typically that goes with it. And it's self-paced. Parents can go through it as they want. And as an addition, I can also offer, you know, feedback or consulting as we work through the course. And it starts with parents looking at themselves and how they are and their parenting style and what triggers them and those types of things, looking at the unique characteristics of giftedness, because understanding the whys and the function of behavior, I mean, it just changes everything as far as parenting, right? Understanding.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
Oh, I know why they're acting the way they're acting. So we need to understand the overexcitabilities and the intense emotions and those types of things. And then I get into some really practical strategies and skills, how to build that toolbox of, you know, how do I work on motivation? How do I work through arguing and all those types of things? So that's the course. I'm really excited about it. I'm hoping to, I am launching it actually I'm probably starting today as far as the social media, mm-hmm. you know, the first post will go out, but it is finished now.
Okay. Awesome. So first of all, sounds like a wonderful resource and I hope it will go extremely well. When this episode will go live, it's going to be a little bit after you launched it. But anyway, in the show notes of this episode, I'm going to put the links to the website and to the course and everything else so parents can easily find that. And that's great. I love how you focus on the why, because I think this is When I work with my clients and with parents, and this is a major thing that I talk about here and in my programs, it's really about, you know, getting closer to yourself first, and then from there you can get closer with your child. And I can totally see how, you know, being a parent of a gifted child, and maybe if it's true that it's even more like that when you're gifted yourself, but I think I'm thinking again about these two prongs of the intellectual abilities and the emotional or sensing kind of capacity, heightened capacity there. It can really be both a blessing and a curse. And if you know how to accept that and work with that as a parent who, and I see parenting as kind of being the captain of a ship. You have to know where you're going and how to control the ship and the crew and navigate. So if you have that knowledge and those skills, you will get your family where you want to go. So I love that. I think this is a wonderful course that I will check it out myself. So, we're coming to the end of our very, very interesting conversation. And I have just one last question, which is a question I ask everybody on the show.
Okay.
So I would like you to, think back to the time before you became a mom, right before you became a mom. And if you could, you know, travel back in time and talk to yourself, to your past self back then, what would you like to tell this younger Jody, about parenting, about motherhood, about life in general? I don't know, whatever comes to your mind.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up this question, because just before we started this podcast, I was talking to my daughter about the fact that I was doing this podcast, and she asked me a similar question. So I have an answer ready for you. In my course and in my consulting, I talk about connection and how important a true connection is to your child. They're going to open up. They're going to, you know, have higher self-esteem. They're going to behave better for you if you have that connection. But for me, I was a very busy young mom working through, you know, a doctoral degree and working full-time and three kids and busy husband. And I was really task-oriented with mm-hmm. my kids. So I felt like because we were sharing the same space, we were in the same house all the time, and I was cooking for them and, you know, doing their homework with them and driving them here and there. I felt like I had this connection because I spent so much time with them. But looking back, I don't think I spent that quality time with them, you know, on the floor playing with puzzles or talking to them and those types of things. And I'm doing it more now that I can see the importance of it.
Yeah.
But I wish I would have done it when they were younger.
Yeah. Wow. That's profound. I really can relate to that, to being this task oriented myself, and you know, realizing that sometimes it's not about, you know, what is getting done, but how are you together? And thanks for sharing that. All right. So once again, I want to thank you so much for this conversation. I learned a lot. I'm sure my listeners as well. I think this is a really important topic. I'll just say that I think in a way, and I think this is coming from the way I used to think of things, and now I see other people think about it. There's a sense that being gifted or being, you know, identified as gifted is kind of achievement in and of itself, and something to, you know, like a prize that you get as a parent, you know, something you can be proud of. But it does also bring with it a whole lot of problems and issues that you need to resolve. And I'm very happy that we have this opportunity to shine the light on that, because, you know, being gifted or being the parent of a gifted child doesn't mean that everything is, you know, going to be smooth sailing and you're going to get, you know, you're going to be the next president of the United States. So not that you need to be gifted for that, as we know, but yeah, you have, yeah. You still have to work. And
right. And the word gifted, suggests an advantage. Yeah. Just the word itself, right? So there's so many misconceptions around it. And, you know, people need to be enlightened. Teachers need to be enlightened. Parent needs to be enlightened. The child needs to understand it too, right? They hear the word gifted and they have their own idea of what that means, but yeah. They need to understand, you know, what it really does mean. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you very much and good luck with your course. And
thank you. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I wish you well. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, that was my conversation with Jody Svensson about gifted children. I sure do hope that you have enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. I think Jody was very helpful in helping us understand what it really means to be or to raise a gifted child. I, for one, had no idea about the different ways the gifted children's brains process information, and that was very meaningful to learn. So I want to ask you, what did you take from this episode? Please share it with me. You're welcome to follow me on Instagram at apparentlyparent and share whatever you want with me on the DMs. And you know what would be wonderful? If you share this episode with other people in your community, who knows who would find it helpful. So please do so today and also don't forget to tag me. And that is it for today. Join me next week for a conversation about learning difficulties and how to help your child manage them. Subscribe to this show on your podcasting app so you'll get the new episode as soon as they are published. They're published every Thursday, and I will see you there next week. Have a wonderful week in between. Bye-bye.